Sex and the City marks what may be a new phenomenon, the female summer blockbuster. I saw it with 440 straight women and 9 gay men. The women in my row passed around a Kleenex box, the big kind. And the weeping is why, even though an entire gender wouldn't be caught dead seeing it, even though it's rated R, sex is going to give Indiana Jones a run for his money at the box office. It's not necessary to be knowledgeable about the former HBO series quickly to become absorbed by the four central characters' lives and loves. They're so witty, so self-assured, so much more fabulous than thou, they'll scoop you up. For the non-initiate, the color of their expensive coifs and a behavioral post-it note or two should suffice to distinguish them as they walk down the streets of Manhattan, arms linked, endlessly bonding. Carrie, Sarah Jessica Parker, the petite blonde with the killer thighs, is the writer of the titular column. Charlotte, Kristen Davis, is the brunette optimist. Being a wealthy heiress must do wonders for her outlook. The swan-necked redhead is Miranda, Cynthia Nixon, an iPhone-wielding lawyer, overscheduled, newly frigid, way out of her native habitat. She's struggling to raise a family in Brooklyn. Samantha, Kim Cattrall, the 50-year-old sexpot blonde, never passes up a hard bicep. Each of the women has a contrived dilemma. Let's focus on Carrie's. Her on-again, off-again power broker boyfriend of 10 years, played by Chris Noth, whom she simply calls Big, best not to speculate, has finally agreed to marry. He buys Carrie a penthouse suite overlooking Central Park and builds her a closet as big as her single-girl apartment. Carrie needs it. She has shoes enough to leave Imelda Marcos gibbering. Carrie inaugurates that closet with a pair of Manolo Blahniks that cost more than my mortgage payment. Do you detect the tang of vinegary grapes? Perhaps. I do approve of fashion as self-expression. A scene at Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week peoples the runway with models who look like sushi sculptures. The sex paper dolls are draped in Mobius strips of riotous color and labyrinthine detail. But then anybody can wear money, can't they? What I most respect is a person who can express him or herself with an ensemble cobbled together at the Goodwill. The biggest star of Sex and the City isn't one of the actresses. It's the costumer, Patricia Field, who clothed the girls brilliantly for 6 years of the series, and now the movie, every day and on a budget. So what fairy tale is being sold here? A speech by Carrie bookends the film. She says that young women come to New York City for the two L's, love and labels. By film's end, after her wedding becomes a debacle of conspicuous consumption, Carrie has supposedly learned her lesson about those pesky labels. And yet, we get a knight in Brooks Brothers armor, I ain't saying who, down on one knee, slipping half of a $550 pair of shoes onto a white, dainty Cinderella foot. Sure, I savored every minute of this 2 hours-plus emotional marathon, but a tiny, stubborn Midwesterner kept whispering in my ear. Carrie is looking for happiness, but she is spiritually bankrupted by things she does not need. Jesus and the Buddha Didn't Wear Sandals by Jimmy Choo. Carrie gets outside of herself exactly once. She visits a lonely friend on New Year's Eve. Well, big deal. When Samantha, staying with the others at a 5-star hotel in Mexico, teasingly hits on her Mexican waiter, I wanted to follow the guy home, to hear him tell his wife about the crazy white women wearing more than he makes in a year. Carrie and company are a nice place to visit for a couple of hours, and they'll be the first up against the wall when the revolution comes. Reviewing movies for WFIU, this is Peter Noble-Kuchera.